This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sky Blue Extra podcast, as ever sponsored by the Sky Blue Tavern and Dylan's Brewery, your best option for pre and post-match entertainment. I'm Matt, and for the next 45 minutes or so, I'll be joined by Andy and Ross as we cover everything Sky Blue from the last 7 days. How are we doing, fellas?
Yeah, good, thanks, Matt.
Yeah, good, thank you, mate.
Well, good, good stuff. Right. Well, despite there being no goals for us to talk about this week, we still have plenty to cover as we take a look back over Coventry's 0-0 draw with Sunderland at the CBS Arena, as well as previewing what is likely to be a busy last few days of the summer transfer window for City, with some predictions on how Mark Robin's squad might look from September onwards. But we'll jump in with that 0-0 draw against the Macums, and I'll start with you, Ross. Obviously, we saw two changes to the side that started at Swansea. Palmer and Sims both coming back into the side and replacing Sakamoto and Wright. What were your thoughts when you saw that starting 11? Anything that surprised you? Anything that you would have disagreed with and like to have seen maybe a little bit different?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think I said it on the pod last week as well. I did think there was a chance that he'd play Sims. I thought Sakamoto for Palmer was pretty straightforward, to be honest. I think that's just a... Sakamoto will play there, but obviously Casey Palmer's a lot more established at championship level than Sakamoto is at the minute. And obviously he's going to have to get a lot more used to playing in that position. And obviously how we play, I think a lot of our fans just think, oh, well, he's played there before, so we can just play in there. It doesn't work like that. If you've got a system and roles to do in a team, you've got to know how to obviously, one, do that and also execute it to how we want it to be executed. So I think the Palmer one was straightforward, but the Sims and Wright one was always a toss-up. Personally, for me, I'd have played Hadji from the start. I think he obviously needs a run of games. I think, to be honest, Sims would have been more impactful for me coming off the bench in that game than he would have starting, because I feel like there was just a bit more pressure on him. But I can see why Robbins wanted to do it, because he doesn't want to look like he's dropping Sims, if that makes sense. And he obviously has a lot of confidence in Sims. And I've always said, once he scores, I think the little things that he's not doing at the minute will come. So like I think Robin said yesterday, should have took an extra touch and then hit it. Those things will start to become almost like in sequence once he gets that first goal. I think he just needs to get that burden off his back, and once he does that, it'll be okay. But yeah, I wouldn't disagree, if that makes sense. It wasn't like, oh my god, why has he played Sims? I just personally would have preferred Wright and Godden, and then to bring Sims on later as sort of like an impact sub if needed. Because I also think it would have made them a bit more wary, because it would have been like, oh, Sims isn't playing, but is he going to come on? When's he come on? It's a bit like Robin said, it was a chess game anyway, but that would have made it a bit more of a chess game, I think, having him on the bench than say, starting him. But yeah, no qualms from me. But yeah, it was all good. It's just a shame we couldn't put one in the net. But yeah.
It's always a shame. Do we think... Obviously, it seems to be, you know, obviously at the minute, one of Sims or Wright with Godden. We know there's similarities potentially maybe with Sims and Wright, but do we think there might be a point in the season where we can see them both starting together? You assume, obviously, with the money we've outlaid there, we've possibly got to be expecting to see them start together, even if they are, you know, relatively similar, or do you think this is always going to be the pattern we can expect, Ross?
Yeah, I think we will see it. I also think as well, once we now we've got this young boy, Yari, who looked good yesterday, by the way. Obviously, we've got him, Palmer and O'Hare. I also think we will play multiple formations throughout the year. So some games will start with two up front. I think we'll also start with one striker this year. I can see Robbins potentially going to like two tens, so like a double pivot 10, if that makes sense. And yeah, box based like a box midfield, but less of a box midfield than it was last year, with more centre midfielders, with just say your two centre mids, i.e. Sheath, Eccles, whoever it may be, and then your two technician type of players in Sakamoto, Palmer, Ayari, O'Hare when he comes back. And then obviously you could play the right Sims or someone like that up top on their own, or even Godden. So I think there'll be multiple changes throughout the year. But I do expect, I did kind of want to see them two up front yesterday. I was a bit not disappointed. I'd have liked to have seen Godden been withdrawn yesterday, keep Sims on, and then play Wright and Sims together. I thought that was maybe what he was going to do, but all ticking over at the minute, really, isn't it? We're trying to dwindle with things, and we still don't know who we're going to actually bring in the next week, fingers crossed, before the window closes. So we'll just wait.
And it's a nice problem for us to have. Obviously, we've got options of people up front who we, you know, should have a level of confidence in. I know it's been a difficult start for Sims, but a lot to come. And as you're right, I think you're correct in saying we're going to see a few different changes and formation startups with that starting, you know, striking output that we'll see throughout the season. So we'll move into the game. And Andy, I know you're obviously our main guy when it comes to the stats. Anything that really stood out for you from Saturday's game?
Yeah, we just missed too many clean-cut chances, which is just the point of the game, really. I'll go through the stats. We kept the ball pretty nicely. We had 52% possession. Expected goals was 1.31, which is pretty healthy. It's not too bad. 17 goal attempts, which again is really healthy. But my always bugbear, there was only 6 on target. We should be, you know, looking to maybe hit towards double figures on that. And then we had 4 shots off target and 7 blocked shots. So you can say, yeah, okay, we didn't hit the target enough, but you can say, well, Sunderland defended pretty well, which they did, to be honest. A bit like us the other end. I thought we blocked a lot of shots from Sunderland and press, especially people like Fads and the other defenders. I thought they were fantastic. So yeah, a little bit disappointing that we weren't clinical enough and we didn't hit the target enough, but perhaps we should praise Sunderland a little bit there.
Yeah, absolutely. Good defensive performance from both sides. Moving into the game, obviously the first real decent chance foul to Matty Godden. Bit of a reaction effort for him. Benchy taking range from distance and his deflected effort falling into the path of Godden. He was only really able to turn the ball straight into the path of Patterson in the Sunderland goal. And it has been a bit of an up and down start for Godden. I know obviously he is our leading scorer so far, but not so great feedback after that Leicester performance. And he obviously missed a few chances, which we've already alluded to, has been a bit of a theme so far this season. Looking at this one particular, do you think it's a bit harsh to suggest he could have done a bit better with it? Or is this maybe a sign of, you know, a little bit of a lack of sharpness with Matty?
Harsh, if I'm being honest. It was difficult. It wasn't like the one against Borough that was in front of him. He had to stretch for this one. For me, it was a difficult chance.
It almost feels a good chance because he's so close out and he's... Yeah.
Yeah, because he's in good form, isn't it? Yeah. And yeah, you expect when he's in good goal scoring form, which he is, you expect those things. Maybe he could have just latched onto it and put it into an empty net. But I think that's harsh, to be honest. He did come at him very quickly and he just stretched it away and just went over it. So
I tend to agree. It's relatively early in the game as well, and it is come to him pretty quickly. So we'll give him a pass on that one. But Ross, we had another incident shortly after, a long throw from Van Uyck, and obviously that's starting to look like a little bit of a attacking threat for the Sky Blues, which you might see them lean on at points this season. But did appear to strike the arm of Luke 09 on its way towards goal, with Ellis Sims not too far away and potentially blocked a clear goal scoring opportunity for the Sky Blues. As I say, there wasn't really too much said about it. There wasn't really any appeal from the City players or really in the post-match reaction. But what were your thoughts on this? Is this something you noticed during the game? Do you think, looking back on it, is something where we maybe got a right to be frustrated to not see the referee point at the spot?
To be honest, mate, I mean, I was down the other end of the stadium, so
for me, it'd been a good spot from there. Yeah.
If I was appealing for that, then I definitely should be in black uniform on the pitch, because I could have given that as a penalty. But no, mate, to be honest, it just looked like it bounced around from where I was. Obviously, with any team that has someone who can throw the ball long into the box, it's a threat, isn't it? It's something. It's always, people say it's like having another option of a corner. So instead of always having, basically, you can have a corner kick or you can have your corner from a throw-in. So teams obviously have to defend it a lot more. But I think
it's generally even better than a corner, because you've got that flat trajectory and it's probably coming in from a better angle. Yeah, but you almost get labelled with that kind of, you know, I know obviously the classic one was probably Stoke, and then that gets labelled in with being a dirty side and you know, one-dimensional side. But it's probably going to be something that we're going to see this season, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we're obviously not going to be playing the kind of football that we've expected to see from Coventry under Mark Robbins.
Yeah, I think from what I've read as well, hasn't Bobby Thomas got a long throw as well? I think he can launch one as well. So I think the only reason that he's probably not done it at the moment is because obviously Milan's still getting used to his position, obviously on the same size as Bobby Thomas. So I think once they settle in to their roles a bit more, know each other, you'll then start to see things like Thomas maybe taking a throw. But also Robbins probably wants Thomas in the box, because obviously he's a big boy. He can score goals, and you can see what a threat he is. So obviously if Milan realistically is the better option to take, and it is something that obviously did cause a bit of bother. But yeah, in terms of the penalty, I saw the video on Twitter this morning, and to be honest, it could have been given. But it's always a sticky one, because we'll probably have decisions like that throughout the season for us, where other teams will be going, oh, well, that should have been a penalty, but we'll be thinking, Jesus, thank God that didn't get given against us. So I'm not going to sit here and go, oh my God, I'm raging with it, because to be honest, that didn't affect the game in the slightest. It was just like Andy said, it was just literally down to the fact of that we just weren't good in front of goal.
Yeah, fair point. I think leading into that, probably another example of that lack of clinical edge came shortly afterwards with Casey Palmer, who did realistically look the biggest threat in that first half when it came to a player in a sky blue shirt. Managed to find Ellis Sims on the left-hand side of the penalty area, looked to be in behind, but had to cut in, put an effort in on goal. But again, a relatively straightforward save for Patterson, who was able to turn it away with his legs. Andy, obviously, Ellis Sims, it's now four games he's been involved with in the league and no goals to his name. What are your thoughts so far? Obviously, is it one of those situations where you do think just maybe that one goal to kickstart his City career, or are there worrying signs that you're starting to see form?
Well, go back into the point of the chance. I thought, unfortunately, Palmer, who is literally, has been absolutely, he was phenomenal yesterday, by the way. I just thought his pass was a little bit too heavy. It wasn't in Sims' stride. And that's why he went a little bit wide with it, unfortunately. So I'll blame Palmer on a little bit on that one, unfortunately. Because if it was in his stride, he probably would just be able to jump on it and just
hit
it in the bottom corner.
Do you think that's to do with the defender? Because
he's kind of got to put
it in an area to get, you know, yeah. I just wonder if he takes a little bit off, maybe that defender's able to cut it out.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, fair point, maybe. You've got a point there. But I just think the weight of pass was just slightly heavy, which is surprising for Palmer, because normally his weight of pass is brilliant. It's normally spot on, isn't it? So I just thought on for that one, Sims, I thought it was a little bit unlucky, because he had to cut back in, like you said, and that made the chance a little bit more difficult. If the ball was more in his path, then he would have just slotted it probably maybe in the bottom corner. But going back to your point about Sims, am I worried? Not really, a little bit, because the only thing I'm worried about, because he's had a pre-season with us, it's not like he hasn't. Like, right at the moment, for me, I don't know why he didn't start, because he has got off the mark. He hasn't had a pre-season with us. At the moment, Sims, he just looks lacking for me.
Which is surprising, because he obviously did... He did quite well in pre-season. I know it's generally against lower level opposition, and you know he probably isn't a fair comparison, but he was the player who obviously had that pre-season opportunity to, you know, bed in with the team. He's certainly been around a good few weeks before Wright joined us. So I tend to agree with your point, but it's a bit surprising, and maybe that in itself is a little bit where the concern might be, because, you know, obviously he did have the benefit of a pre-season to get used to the squad and the management and everything.
It just looks a bit clunky to me at the moment. Everything's a bit slow, bouncing off him a little bit. It needs to be a bit more tidier. He just needs to be more of a threat, in my opinion. So, you know, that's four games now without a goal. So I understand why Robin's started him, because obviously he pleased to play for Sunderland, didn't he? He scored quite a few goals for them. So that was probably in the back of Robin's mind. And the other thing that he wants him, he desperately needs a goal, doesn't he? Because as soon as he gets a goal, then hopefully that will open the floodgates.
That will kickstart it.
It looks a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I think, yeah, you want to give him as much opportunity as you can to get off the mark. And obviously maybe that little bit of inside knowledge that he'll have with the Sunder defenders might have given him the nod, but wouldn't be surprised, I think, from any perspective, to see Wright come back into the side for the next game. Moving into the second half, realistically, I think we can possibly say this was one of the best periods of pressure for the visitors at the start of the periods. Ross, for you, any concerns at this stage? Obviously, we did have opportunities in that first period. We weren't able to take them, which has been a little bit of a theme so far this season. Were there any concerns when Sutherland did appear to start to get back into the game early in the second half? Or did you always feel relatively comfortable with how our defence were handling any threats Sunderland might have been able to put forward?
I'll be honest, I think we missed, I hate to bring him up, but we really missed Hamer in there yesterday, because he would have really chilled that game out a lot for us. Josh Eccles in the first half was really good, and Sheaf was okay as well. But for me, it was too frantic in the second half. I know people were saying, oh, it was an up and down game. It was way too open for me. Just the one thing I said last week on the preview before the game was I didn't want us the one area I knew they'd hurt us in is on transition when they sit back and give it to Jack Clark. And he was getting the ball out wide too much. Like I said, Van Ivaak is a really good defender. Like, you saw that yesterday. Going forward, he's what I've got called Dabo syndrome at the minute. He needs to get a bit more confidence in him. But defensively, you can't knock the guy, because he really kept Jack Clark at bay yesterday. And I think if we didn't have someone as quick, or we did have someone like Dabo or etc. at wing back, I think we probably could have been in a little bit more trouble. It's just a good job that we've obviously paid money for an athletic wing back who can run now, which is what you can see why we've recruited in that area. But it was way too open for me, to be honest, the second half. I didn't really enjoy it. I know from a spectacle point of view, it's good for it to be end to end, but you can't get into a game of chess like that with them, in my opinion. I know Robin's come out and said, oh, we play well, but I just think he was bluffing, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you've touched on an interesting point, because Robin's, even before the game, you know, I think we're confident there will be more players coming in over the next few days before the window closes. And Robin's really did talk about, we've obviously brought IRE in, but still another midfielder who probably can help us a bit more in those transitional moments, you know, possibly somebody who can control the pace of the game a little bit more, get the foot on the ball, and, you know, obviously control the pace of the game in the middle of the pitch. So, you know, it's obviously a key area that Robbins is looking at, and I would expect to see his address. But moving back into Saturday's game, and another opportunity which came through Casey Palmer, realistically was at the heart of most Sky Blue attacking endeavours. And on this occasion, we saw a Maisy run, which obviously, I think we'd all have to have seen the back of the net bulge. But unfortunately, again, just one of those opportunities where Patterson was left to make what was ultimately a fairly routine save, unfortunately. Andy, just picking up on Palmer, obviously, we've talked about him today already. We've talked about him on the pod quite a bit. I know Dave's a bit in and out with him. And we can all see the ability that he's got, and the talent and the technical abilities that he have. But with this season, with the likes of Sakamoto coming in, obviously O'Hare's going to be coming back, and hopefully we'll get back to fitness and stay there in the coming weeks and months. What are your thoughts with Casey Palmer in terms of the Sky Blue shirt? This is really his opportunity now to put a stamp on that position and maybe, you know, block O'Hare coming straight back into the side. Do you think he's doing enough at the minute, or would you be thinking at the moment if O'Hare was to come back in the next few weeks, he'll go straight back into the side?
I think, like Ross said earlier, that there'll be a chance of maybe playing both of them, O'Hare and Palmer, together behind one of the strikers. I think that just sounds good to me. I think Casey Palmer is key this season. He had last season where he had, obviously towards the end of the season, he got injured, which was unfortunate, but he played a lot of games for us and was very, very pivotal for me. I think he's been fantastic this season. I think he's been our best player this season so far. He is so creative and brilliant on the half turn and can see passes that other players can't and thread people in. I think he's brilliant. And whether O'Hare comes back or not is immaterial to me, because I think Palmer will play with O'Hare, or if he wants to play two up front, then maybe, you know, he'll swap it around between Palmer and O'Hare. But I think, like Ross said at the start of the thing, it wouldn't surprise me if he starts going back to the four in midfield, the box formation, and then play the two technical players behind the front man, because I think that looks really good to me. If you've got good movement, Casey Palmer and Callum O'Hare will find you.
Put you on the spot a little bit with this one. Let's say with devil's advocate, if we've got O'Hare back, and obviously he's had a little bit of an opportunity to get back to fitness and game time in his legs, but we are leaning towards a formation which is going to have, you know, one attacking midfielder.
Okay.
Where would you go? You know, obviously we've got O'Hare. It's hard to say, because we're probably going to be judging him on what we saw, you know, good 9 months ago now. But do you think Palmer's at a level that we saw from O'Hare before he left us, or?
That's a tough question, isn't it? That's a good question. very good question. Probably O'Hare's a better player when he's on full tilt, if you're being honest, come on. Mm. But Casey is, you know, not that far behind him when he's on full tilt, if that makes sense. But if you play in one and everyone's in top form, then you probably go with O'Hare, because he's a better player. But like you say, I think there's going to be many occasions where Casey Palmer will feature this season, because he's very influential and I think he's going to be very important. But I think it's just great to have them kind of attacking players in your team. You want those kind of people who have that creativity in your team as well, because that's what makes goals, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And having those kind of battles and those competitions for places is something that is great to see, obviously. It shows the progression we've made over the last few years. So really going to be fantastic to see what happens when, obviously, we're all eagerly awaiting that return of O'Hare. But again, going back to Saturday's game, Ross, we talked about a half shout for a penalty for Coventry. At the other end, Sunderland in the second half, a little bit of a shout for a penalty of their own. Dan Neil going into the box and going over a tackle from Fads. I'm guessing from what you said earlier on, this is probably the wrong end of the pitch for you again. So not sure if you got a chance to see it during the game, but any opportunity to see it afterwards, any thoughts on the appeals that they had on this one? Because there was a bit more of an appeal from Sunderland here versus obviously the Coventry shout earlier in the game.
The last two home games, I thought we got lucky in both to not. I mean, they could have been a penalty, but you could also see why they're not. I think the member Bobby Thomas's challenge on the Middlesbrough player in the box, where he absolutely smashed it, I think another referee probably could have given that as a penalty. And my instant reaction with my mate yesterday when that guy went down is we went, that looked like a penalty. I was going, if that was me in that away end at Carve, I'd be fuming if that hadn't been given for us. So it could have been given. I think we've been lucky to not... any other referee or another referee in both those games probably could have given a penalty against us and it could have changed the game. So,
I mean, clumsy, didn't it? And I think it's one of those, we're probably saved a little bit by the fact that there's so many people in and around play, and it possibly makes it difficult for the ref to see what's going on. But I tend to agree with the Thomas one. It's probably what Say does. It was just maybe a little bit out of nowhere. You know, it's kind of it came from nowhere, and it felt like
just an unexpected smash, weren't it?
Pretty much.
It was just a bit like, what's going on? Whereas that one was a lot more. He looked like he just ran into the box and just completely got took out. But To be honest, I think it goes back to my point earlier on. All of these situations happen, though, from how we were playing in the second half. So if you keep giving them the ball, you're going to... I kept saying, we may as well just pass it to them, because every time we were getting it, we just kept passing it to them in the second half. I don't know what was wrong with us. It was just like every time we got it, instead of just trying to slow the game down, that's another thing we kept doing as well, is we'd get the ball back and Wilson would have it in his hands. And instead of just waiting for 30 seconds and just letting us regroup, it was like, quick, let's try and find Sheaf really quickly. But then half of our players are still stood in our own half and we've not even moved up the pitch yet. And it's just like, we don't need to pass and play that quickly when we're in a game of chess. Sometimes just need to take the sting out of it, let it relax. Do you know what I mean? I know we're playing different football this year as well. Obviously, we're playing a lot more on the ground stuff and not less transition than we did obviously last year, because we've got different players. But swings and roundabouts, in it, we could have probably had one, they could have probably had one. But if buts and maybes, if they scored their goal, they'd have won. And if Hadji Wright scored our goal, we'd have won. Do you know what I mean?
It's moving on to that chance for Wright that you've just mentioned, Andy. It probably was the clearest opportunity of the game, similar in some ways to the chance for Sims, but maybe a little bit more time, a little bit of a better angle for him. The through ball coming from, obviously, Yasin Ayari on his debut. Hadji Wright appeared to have, obviously, plenty of time here to pick his spot. Robin's obviously alluding after the games to that opportunity to finish like Thierry Henry in the Premier League, which I'm sure something we'd all love to see from Hadji Wright moving forward. But again, a very similar kind of finish to what we saw throughout the game. Pretty much a straightforward save for Patterson. Give us your thoughts on that chance. He's got to do better, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he should have. I disagree with Robbins with that comment, because I thought Patterson really closed the angle down really well. Mm-hmm. He got close to it really well. So what he needed to do is reverse it to the other corner. Right. Because the keeper was expecting him to go, obviously, do the Thierry Henry thing and put it in the bottom corner. But the keeper closed him down really well. But however, if he would have put his eyes that way and then reversed into the other bottom corner, that was the finish. So for me, that's what he should have done, but it was unlucky. Great ball through, though. Lovely, yeah. lovely vision by Ari. That's promising to see as well, that is, because that was kind of above the level, that was. That was beautiful. And Wright should have finished it, and that would have been game over and would have been 3 points. And kind of summed the frustrating afternoon up that I did, that chance of how it was just saved by the keeper. It was just the whole thing was all a bit annoying towards the end.
Yeah, it did certainly fit the mould. And obviously, as we say, a lot of routine saves for Patterson in those opportunities on goal. Unfortunately, we weren't able to take those chances. Probably the best chance for Sunderland came quite late on in the game. It was the last real chance of the game. Fell to Joe Bellingham in the area. Obviously, he's got a lot of eyes on him at the moment in association with his brother, but he did net twice last week for Sunderland in their comeback win over Rotherham. And seeing that ball drop to him in the area, it was quite a heart-in-mouth moment, but we saw, obviously, Fads do Fads thing in the end and throw his body on the line to block the effort and goal. Ross, just like to get your thoughts on this one. Robin's obviously has been quite open on the fact that we're looking to bring another centre-back in. Which would bring it up to 5 in total, which I think is realistic when you start with 3. What are your thoughts with Fads? He's obviously shown his leadership abilities already this season, but maybe a couple of moments where you saw what we expected to see from Fads 2-3 seasons ago. If we were to bring another centre-half in, do you expect him to have a big role to play still? Would you expect him to be a pretty set starter for us? Or do you think there is actually a threat if somebody was to come in of a decent standing, he might be the one to have his place under threat?
Yeah, I think just touching what you said about, obviously, Sunderland as well. To be honest, I think them actually not having a striker actually basically made us worse, if anything, because what they're really good at is rotating. So they rotate positions. They were really moving us around. And you can tell someone like Fads, the last thing he wants is when he's got Bradley Dack as almost like a false nine, drawing out to the halfway line, then Jack Clark going into a pocket and
stretching
then
the play. Yeah.
If they had Patrick Roberts, that'd have caused us a few more problems, I think, than they did yesterday. Obviously, they had to put that boy Barr in there. But I think if they'd have had Roberts, it would have been, they probably could have scored, to be honest, because we you could tell we weren't comfortable with. So, in terms of Fads, I've always said this about Fads. Obviously, he's improved a lot. He's 37 years old, though. This is what people need to remember. We can't be relying on a 37-year-old Carl McFadden to be playing 46 games in a championship season for us. He's a massive player. He's big in moments, don't get me wrong. The blocks he does, leadership skills, his overall game is good. But like you said, he does do the old McFadden things of 4 years ago, pretty much, when he joined us. He's now being asked to go and basically receive the ball and start playing out from the back and attacks and attacks and attacks. And he can do it, but is there much better players that we can get out there who are probably just as good a defender, if not better? There is, and Robbins will know that, but he is going to be an important player for us throughout the season.
And we will touch on potential transfer opportunities we might see in the coming days in a moment. But before we move on, let's just tie a ribbon around this one. Obviously, Fadzi's block did ultimately see out the 0-0 draw. So let's get a couple of man of the matches. Ross, I'll come to you first. Anybody who stood out for you?
God, it's quite a difficult question. Do you know who I'm actually going to give it to? Milan, Van Ibe. Okay. I'm going to give it to him. I thought he was real. I think defensively, he really assures me. I never feel like he's going to get taken on. And even if he does, he's that fast. He'll recover and tackle. I think
it's that pace thing, isn't it? Similar to kind of not suggesting he's overly similar to Kyle Walker, but you always feel even if he gets beat, he's got that opportunity to turn and get back.
I think he either gave it away, I can't remember, he either gave it away or they took it past him, but then he managed to like recover and then just like basically do a sweeping tackle from behind. And I just thought, that's why we've paid the money from you. The attacking side will come eventually. Like, you could see throughout the game, him and Thomas were having a few words, you know, and obviously they're still trying to get used to each other, but his defensive side really assured me. And like Robin said after the game, Jack Clark is probably one of the top 3/5 wingers you probably will come up against in the whole division. So to be able to keep him out and not concede against him, and let's look at it on a plus note, we've not conceded in 2 home games so far. So that's been a positive, that we've not had to see any limbs in the away end. You know what I mean? So it's, we'll take that.
And Andy, what about you? You in agreement, or are you leaning towards somebody else?
No, total agreement. Milan kept Jack Clark quiet. You know, if anyone who can keep Jack Clark quiet, has done a decent job. And I thought he was fantastic in that defensive duties, and he did absolutely superb. A special mention to Fads because of his blocks and his clearances. I thought that was good by him. But no, I think Milan deserves it for keeping Jack Clark quiet.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Following on from the 0-0 draw, the Sky Blues will enter the last few days of the summer transfer window. A window that has already proven to be very active for Coventry, and that is expected to continue with funds seemingly still available following the departure of Gustavo Hamer just over a week ago. Mark Robbins has suggested there's a need for 2 to 3 more players following the arrival of Yassin Ayari on loan from Brighton last Monday. We did touch on him briefly during the rundown of the Sunderland game, but Ross, give you your thoughts on him as a new signing. Are you seeing him come in as a starter, or do you think there's a bit more of a battle for him to get in that starting 11?
Yeah, I mean, from I knew we had a good player, because if you want to look at a well-run football club in terms of manager, owner, chairman, sporting directors, the lot, then Brighton Hove Albion are one of the best run clubs in the Premier League, if not in the world at the moment, in terms of how they recruit players and how shrewd they are and how they go about their business. I mean, look at players like Matoma and Ciso, Casado, all these players that they've bought that they're shipping on for tens of hundreds of millions of pounds. So from when I looked at their comments, and they were tagging us saying, look after him. They quite like us as a football club, I think. Obviously, we've took a few of their players in the past, and all their fans were saying, perfect move for him, perfect move for him. Robbins is a great manager at that level. Like Andy said earlier on, that pass that he did for Hadji was really, really good. He just looked so comfortable on the ball. I just think, again, he's basically like Sakamoto 2.0. He just needs to get used to what we do and how we work. Like Robin said after the game, he was walking around a bit too much at times, and that's not just laziness. I just think it's because in other teams he's probably been able to do that, but what we needed him for, and the division he's playing in, the Championship, is very stop start. And the game he come on yesterday was probably the worst game to walk around in. Once he starts to learn to move a bit more, gets a bit more match fit, I think we'll have a really exciting player on our hands. I think he'll score us some goals and make some assists for us this year. I think he probably could, to be honest, looking at him, he could probably get double figures in both if we play him as much as we can do and get the best out of him. I wouldn't be surprised if he hit double figures in goals and assists, especially with the players he's got around him. So, yeah, he's an exciting player to have on board, I think. And fingers crossed, he'll give us some good memories and moments this season that potentially could take us one step further. So,
Andy, your thoughts on him? Do you think, obviously, we've already seen Eccles and she form a bit of a partnership, but certainly we know there's a need for recruitment in that area, and you know, Yashin is the first stage of that. But do you think he is going to be a regular starter for us, or do you think at 19 years of age there's obviously an opportunity for rotation in that area of the pitch?
Yeah, again, yeah, to be honest with you, I think he's going to find his feet a little bit, like you say. I think obviously, the Championship's a lot more different compared to what he's probably used to, like Ross has just said. So he needs to obviously not walk about and think it's, you know...
It's going to get picked up on, isn't it? You can't do that in English football, especially in the Championship.
I think Robbins was pretty clever why he probably mentioned that in the interview, because that will obviously, he'll hear that. So he'll probably know now not to lounge about and walk about when he comes on the pitch. He needs more from that. We need more from him from that, especially on Championship level, because it's so up and down. So, but no, he's going to be, as soon as he finds his feet and gets used to the Championship, key for us, because again, like Ross says, you don't go on what he does on YouTube or what he did in Sweden for AIK. You go on what Brighton have said about him, and he is highly, highly rated. And you could just see with that pass yesterday why, you know. Again, it was above the level. It was superb pass into Wright's thing. And if we get him round the box and he can fed either Godden or Wright or Sims through, then that's going to be great for us in the way we play. So, yeah, I think he's going to be key for us this season. And I'm excited, really excited to see what he can produce.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And obviously, following on from his signature, Robbins over the last few days has suggested we could expect to still see 2 to 3 new signings come in. So, Andy, if that is the case, what areas of the pitch do you think most urgently we would need to be addressing with those signings?
Well, I think we need another centre half because we're light there.
Especially when you start three, you need five, yeah, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Because Robbins doesn't go away from three, does he? So we definitely need another centre half. And we need maybe one or two centre midfield players, because I like Eccles. I think he's a good player. But I see him more coming in and out and not being a starter for me. I think we need someone better than Eccles, in my opinion, to start next to Sheaf. And then when, obviously, form dips or injury, then we can bring Eccles in, for me. If we want to be going to the Premier League, then we need someone better than Eccles. And that's nothing against Eccles. I think he's a brilliant talent. But the way he is, to start him, not for me. I think we need someone better.
I mean, Eccles is an interesting one. The feedback from him yesterday game, a lot of people had him as their man of the match. A lot of people suggested he struggled. So he's one of those players, you know, possibly he maybe isn't the most obvious when he has an impact in the game. But as you say, still relatively young and a lot to learn. And obviously, you're quite right in saying that the competition that we're probably going to need in that area of the pitch, especially looking at replacing Hamer and the quality that we would have seen there, it's going to be massively important for us. But just looking at that as well, how do you feel the squad is starting to shape up now? You know, we we probably are still going to see two or three more faces come in, but I don't know about you. I don't personally think they're going to be big money signings. I think they're going to be permanent transfers, but not necessarily for the 5, 6, 7 million that, you know, some people might expect because of Hamer's transfer and the funds we might have. What are your thoughts? Do you think we will be spending big money, or are you thinking what we need now is maybe just a couple of additions that improve the quality of the squad, but not necessarily, you know, do they necessarily need to be big money signings?
Not necessarily, not really. I think we could do spending a little bit of money because obviously we've got the money from Hamer, haven't we, to spend. So yeah, but I don't think he's going to spend massive amounts, if I get my judgment right on that. But hopefully, you know, he gets players that are going to be ours, because that's one thing that's more different and more exciting for me this season than last, because a lot of our players now are ours and they're not loans. And I think that's key for me, and how to progress forward, because obviously, as we can see with loans, they always go back and they never come back for another year, do they? So when there are players, you can develop them and then obviously progress with them and obviously move them on if they're for big money, if they do well, a bit like Vic did last season. So yeah, I think hopefully if we get a couple of players in, I don't think it'd be massive money, but hopefully there will be permanent transfers, not loans. That would be more important to me.
Ross, we kind of speculate on this because I think it's been quite clearly said that we seem to have known who was coming in, you know, maybe a good week or two before they've actually ended up coming into the club. It seems to have gone quiet on specific names recently. We all know you're pretty good for a rumour. So is there any names you've got floating around at the moment? You know, your nan's cousin's dog's mate who used to work with Ducking, you know, getting pretty famous now. Anybody in particular that we could be keeping an eye out for?
Yeah, shout out to Dino for all of these made up
things. It's going to happen until the transfer window closes, so it will stop from next week. You're good to go then.
I think he'll just keep it going. We all know what Dino's like, but yeah, no, I've not got any news, mate, to be honest. I try, obviously, I know people that are connected to the club, so if I do hear anything, but one thing I did get told by obviously the source, we'll call them, as if I'm an important guy,
the famous source.
I spoke to the lad I know in the gym that obviously speaks a lot to like the media guy at City and stuff, and he did say that with the area that we're looking for is a centre mid, and it's sort of like the MLS/South American based perimeter. So I wouldn't be surprised to see if we recruit someone from sort of that base, but I don't have names, I don't have profiles. All I know is that we are looking in that area, and we've seen rumours online about names. I think it was Dracallo or something, wasn't it, that was floating about, the centre half. But look, to be honest with you, I don't really care about rumours and stuff, to be honest. I only put them in as interest. I like to know when we've got concrete signings. I mean, no one knew we were getting Iari. There wasn't even a sniff of it. And then it was just 5 PM last Monday and it was gimme with a Sweden flag, and everyone was like, what's going on here? And suddenly we'd signed this young wonder kid on loan. So hopefully this week we'll see some more of that. But I would personally, I'd like us to get three. Mm-hmm. I would like us to get a permanent centre back and a permanent centre midfielder. They'd be the two that make me happy. But I'd also like a loan striker as well. I'd like another to maybe get a third striker in on loan. It's someone from the Premier League, you know, a young lad that basically the club are going to say to us, look, we know he's not going to play week in, week out, but we want him to have a bit of competition. You've got good players in there. You've got Sims, who's played in the Premier League. You've signed the boy Haji right up front, who's going to be is established international for a lot of money. Robbins is great at developing young players. They're going to look at it from a perspective. He's got players like Sakamoto, O'Hare, Palmer, Ayari feeding balls through to this young lad. It kind of suits the bill, really, doesn't it? We've got a young team that plays good football, good manager, good technical staff, just someone with a bit more, you know, a bit more pace, almost like an Adam Armstrong type player, someone who's going to run the channels, has a bit of speed in behind. So when you need to take them like a game by the scruff of the neck, a bit like yesterday, it would have been nice to have brought on Wright and say another quick striker and took off Godden and Sims, you know, to just completely change what we were doing. That's my reasoning why. If we could get that done this week, that would be some shrewd business. I think none of us really could then moan once the window's done that we've not been backed.
Absolutely. It's probably going to be a busier final week of the transfer windows we've been used to seeing over recent years. It's probably been a bit quieter for Coventry in recent years. But Andy, just to finish off, touching on one of the points Ross made there in terms of a striker, really interesting point. I think it's clear that Robbins has suggested he would be keen to get another striker in, but he's also suggested he'd probably prefer to steer clear in terms of loan players. We know that there is talent available from the Premier League and the benefit that that's been able to have in the Championship. You look at somebody like a Cameron Archer for Middlesbrough last season and the strides that he's made. What are your thoughts around that, and what are your thoughts around our possibility of bringing in a loan striker with the likes of, you know, obviously Godden, Wright and Sims at the club coming in for big money? Do you think a Premier League manager would be looking at it and thinking, well, how much opportunity would a striker get if they were to come into your club with those names available to you?
Yeah, that's a fair point, isn't it? Yeah, because they're not going to be more impact off the bench, wouldn't they? How far is Torres away?
I think still a little while. We appear to be getting more of an update on the likes of O'Hare and Allen at the minute, coming back in the next few weeks. I don't think he's too far away, but he's certainly not going to be available for the next, you know, good few weeks. So I think he's probably somebody where he's something to consider, but probably, as we say, Robbins has looked at it and said, I think he wants four, you know, strikers to choose from. Mm. But I don't know, he kind of said four, didn't he, before Yassin came in? Now it's gone down to two to three. Do you think if it were to be two, striker might be the area that ends up being overlooked?
Probably, yeah. It'd probably be the least, you know, least important to Robbins, you know, centre mid and centre back. But I agree with Ross as well, because to be honest, to compete at this level, you could do with four strikers. But then agree with your point again, you know, Premier League clubs be looking at it and think, well, why will I loan him to you? Because he's only going to come off the bench for the last 20 minutes all the time. He's not going to develop that much, is he? I want someone to start. But it depends on whose contacts he's got. And, you know, he might be able to get someone in. But I think that's least of our priorities at the minute.
Yeah.
But we like to be greedy, though, don't we? It'd be nice to get a striker in as well, wouldn't it?
We'll take it. But we've got to think of that balance as well, haven't we? You know, you've got Sims and Wright having to come off the bench. We want to see them make an impact. So certainly will be an interesting final few days of the window. And I think one thing that the last few weeks and months have taught us is we can't really predict too much with this new Sky Blue squad, and we'll obviously see what happens. But that is all time we've got for this week. A big thank you to Andy and Ross for joining us, and of course the biggest thank you goes to our listeners. Just time to remind everybody, the Sky Blue Tavern and Dillon's Brewery remain your go-to locations for any of the big games. And if you want to get involved with the conversation across all socials, all you need to do is use the hashtag SBE podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.